It's time for Green Visions, a KMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports. Last week, the U.S. Bureau of Land Management renewed mineral exploration leases for Twin Metals, which is a crucial step for that Chilean-owned mining company's bid to develop a large copper-nickel mine adjacent to the Boundary Waters. We're joined this morning by Tom Landwehr, Executive Director of the Campaign to Save the Boundary Waters. He's also a former Minnesota DNR commissioner, and we'll talk this morning about this. He joins us by telephone. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very well.
It's been an issue, certainly, on the minds of lots of people in northeastern Minnesota, the copper-nickel mining process. And the renewal of the bid to explore the area, I think, is certainly one of concern, but also just the process of what the mining itself means. Where does the real threat lie to the Boundary Waters for this particular process?
Well, you know, the location, the proposed location of the mine and the processing facility are both directly adjacent to the Boundary Waters on Birch Lake and the South Coachee River. And we know that there is no example of any mine anywhere that doesn't contribute pollution to surrounding waters, whether through groundwater or surface water. And this flowage of water from Birch Lake in the South Coachee River flows directly into the Boundary Waters. It's quite a chain of lakes that literally runs along the Canadian border, you know, into the Rainy River watershed. So it's just nobody has ever demonstrated that they could do a project of this type and this size that won't have an impact on surface water quality. And as we all know, the water quality in the Boundary Waters is exceptional. You can drink it right from the lake. It has an extraordinarily low buffering capacity, so any introduction of any pollutants whatsoever will have just a disastrous effect. So it's, you know, primarily the water quality aspect, but this is, again, it's in the Superior National Forest. It's all on public land. And when you think of a mine site, you have to think of all of the ancillary infrastructure that goes along with it. So you've got the crusher, you've got the roads and potentially the railroads, and you've got the transport system to move the slurry. They're proposing to move this, all of the rock that comes out of it, they're proposing to move it by a 12 or 13-mile pipeline over the Laurentian Divide into a tailings basin. So you've got 12 miles of potentially disastrous slurry pipe as well, again, that is flowing across our public land. And so the impacts are going to be unavoidable. They are going to be non-mitigable. How do you mitigate impacts in the Boundary Waters in the wilderness area? And any accident is simply irrecoverable. You know, if you think of a oil spill in the Mississippi River, well, that's not a good thing, but they will get out with booms and vacuums, and they'll clean that up as much as they can. But if you get a water quality issue in the Boundary Waters, there's no infrastructure, there's no motors, there's going to be no way to get any remediation of that. So it is just one of those places where you have to say, this is not the right site for a copper-nickel mine.
Yeah, it's the linked nature of all those lakes, the fact that the waterways really are so contiguous and connected in so many ways, too, that I think that polluting one corner of the Boundary Waters doesn't mean it's going to stay right there either, does it?
Exactly. It's, you know, all those waters are connected, both surface and ground. And so even if there's no, even if there were no introduction into surface waters, you know, there's invariably seepage. You know, you stack a pile of rocks up on the ground and the water hits it and the air hits it. Now it's has the potential of generating sulfuric acid. That gets into the groundwater. The groundwater is connected to the surface water. The Trump administration has just said they're no longer going to regulate groundwater pollution. And so you just have this situation being set up where we will do something today that will have a long-term, you know, devastating effect on the Boundary Waters for generations. And you know, our group, for one, just says, you know, that is not what Minnesota is all about. That's not what the wilderness is all about, and that's not what the Superior National Forest is all about.
Now, there are certainly, you know, when people think about this and from that one perspective, I think, well, of course, we don't want the Boundary Waters to be polluted. Not realizing, of course, the commercial impact for so many things that this material is used for. There's obviously demand for it, for like iPhones and all the things, computers that this material is extracted to be used for. But it really is hard to offset that when you consider the fragile balance in the Boundary Waters that people can maybe compartmentalize but not realize the obvious reason for the desire to get to that material.
And there's no question there's a growing demand for many of these precious metals. And, you know, the global fact of the matter is there's an abundance of, in particular, copper. And if you think of what's in your smartphone, and this is an example that's often held up, I bet you I got 5 pennies in my pocket. I bet you if I pulled them out, there's less copper in my phone than there is in those 5 pennies. So this is, you know, a little bit of a trumped-up argument that we need the precious metals. Certainly we do, but there are an abundance of places we can get them. And we ultimately, as a society, have to say, you know, there are certain places that we simply should not mine. We should not be mining on the edge of the Grand Canyon. We should not be mining in the watershed of the Yellowstone. And just like those iconic places of the West, we should not be mining on the edge of the Boundary Waters. Mm.
Now, certainly, northern eastern Minnesota is a mining-rich culture, the history of mining here. And as far as it being a source of jobs, I think that is often, too, the other side of the argument is employment. And the Boundary Waters itself, would that it could create that many jobs, but certainly there's a large community of people that are looking for employment in that region, and mining is an attractive and traditional employment choice.
Sure. Well, you know, I think several points around that. One is, you know, the tradition of mining in northeastern Minnesota has been iron mining, and we have a very, you know, long tradition, a historical mining district where we continue to have an abundance of jobs, a bunch of economic development going on there. The unemployment rate up there is just, you know, it's like 4% right now. It is almost zero. And nobody's arguing with that tradition and that existing culture. But, you know, ever since the 50s as well, we've been looking at how to diversify northeastern Minnesota economy, in particular the range. And when you look at the Ely area, the Grand Marais area right now, both of those areas have an extraordinarily diverse economy because of the wilderness, because of the opportunities for guides and for outfitters and for restaurants and hotels and gas stations up there. That is a very diverse economy. And Harvard economist Professor James Stock did an analysis of the economy up there right now and concluded that, when you contemplate adding a mine to that area in the Ely area, where there is, you know, there has not been a mine for 50 years. If you contemplate putting a mine in the Ely area, you certainly bring some short-term jobs, but the long-term impact, over 20 years, you actually have a less economic development in that area. You have fewer jobs. You have fewer gross domestic product, because the very things that people move up there for now, the very things that people are starting businesses there for now, are destroyed by the presence of a local mine. You degrade the wilderness experience. You bring, you know, substantial truck traffic, infrastructure development to the area that people simply don't want to tolerate, and so people leave. And so what happens is at the end of 20 years, you have less economic development than you had before the mine, and that economic development never comes back. And so the argument about jobs is simply hollow. It is not a 1 + 1 = 2 thing. It is a 1 + 1 = 1. And that is just the wrong direction for a region that has been trying to diversify its economy for 4 years. That's what we have the IRRRB for. And here's a diverse economy that people are talking about. Well, let's double down on mining and simplify that economy. And in so doing, diminish the economic vitality of the area.
The Bureau of Land Management said that it will, quote, thoroughly analyze the potential environmental impacts of the proposed mine, end quote, once Twin Metals submits their formal proposal. Do you think that proposal will represent truly the threat to the Boundary Waters?
Well, I think that is a pretty ironic statement for them, because the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service were supposed to undertake a 2-year, 24-month study of the potential impacts of any mining in the Superior National Forest. And they were 20 months into that 24-month study when Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue terminated that study. He stopped that study that was intended to ask the very fundamental question of, is the Superior National Forest any place for mining, given its, you know, the reason the forest was created? At the same time they were doing that study, they were doing a comparable study in two different places, one in Washington, one in Montana, and both of those studies were allowed to be completed. Both those studies concluded that it was inappropriate for mining in those wilderness areas, and both of those areas subsequently got permanent federal protection against mining because the studies concluded that those were not appropriate places. Now, I believe, you know, that if the 20-month study, the 20 to 24-month study that BLM was doing in Superior National Forest actually concluded that mining was a good thing for the area, they would have completed that study, but they didn't, and they have refused to give those preliminary reports to Congress. All I can assume is that their study demonstrated argued that no, mining is not appropriate for the Superior National Forest, and that's why they terminated the study. So it's just ironic to hear them say, well, we're going to do this future environmental review, when they have failed to complete, they sabotaged, they've undermined the studies that they were compelled to do already. And so, no, I have zero confidence that the federal government will truly do an objective analysis of the impacts of that project.
We're speaking with Tom Landwehr, who's the executive director of Save the Boundary Waters, also a former Minnesota DNR commissioner. Where can people go to find more information? Do you have a website for Save the Boundary Waters?
We do have a website. It's got a ton of information on it, including a lot of scientific foundation that really, again, demonstrates the risks of this project. Our website is savetheboundarywaters.org, all one word, savetheboundarywaters.org. And a lot of information there. People can sign up and get alerts and so on. We're actually hosting a rally today at the Capitol at 3 o'clock, Save the Boundary Waters rally, to alert our elected officials, both the governor as well as our U.S. senators, Senator Klobuchar and Smith, that, you know, it really is up to them to take some leadership on this and stop this project. Representative Betty McCollum has been doing an outstanding job of trying to get the studies done at the very least. But we've not heard from other elected officials. We really need to hear from them, and that's why we're going to be at the Capitol today.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, Tom. We thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your interest. And, again, check our website. Lots of good information on there, and appreciate the support of 70% of Minnesotans who are on our side.
All right. We'll certainly have the link on our website later this morning.
Very good. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Tom Landwehr, the executive director of Save the Boundary Waters and a former Minnesota DNR commissioner, talking about the U.S. Bureau of Land Management's renewed mineral exploration lease for Twin Metals, which is a crucial step for that company to develop a large copper-nickel mine adjacent to the Boundary Waters.